If you're innovating, creating, or making a difference,
this show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
We knew we had to do it, and we had to do it quick because it wasn't being done in LA. We told our first set of teams each and every day, this is a big experiment, and you have to help us improve, and you have to tell us what works and what doesn't work.
Encouraging, challenging, and prototyping are all part of engineer Nora May Cadena's job description. Nora May is the co-founder and general manager of Make in LA, Los Angeles' first hardware accelerator. Recently, Make in LA's first selected group of independent entrepreneurs premiered the innovations they developed into marketable ideas while in the program. Nora May talked about that experience. As you and I are speaking, you have just come through your first hardware demo day. What was one of the best moments for you of hardware demo day?
Well, reading people write about it and calling it first time fantastic is certainly part of it.
Oh, goodness. Blush.
Thank you for that. I really enjoyed having we had two participants for batch two in the audience, and they both came up to me after and said, I was so impressed by the team and what they've been able to accomplish and what they've shared about their experience in the program. And so I think that's what made me the most excited, to think that we're creating a legacy and that people are excited to work with us. They're looking forward to it. They can see how we're going to add value to their business. And we're creating a mark. We're making our own mark. That's exciting.
Nora May, who grew up in Southern California, has a background in systems engineering and 3 degrees from MIT.
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley from the time I was a toddler up until I went to college, and I've moved out twice and always found my way back. What I really love about this area is the sense of community, the sense of grassroots energy around a cause, and this feeling of wanting to make the world better.
What first sparked your interest in engineering?
I was definitely not one of those kids who grew up breaking things apart and putting them back together. I really got lucky. I got lucky in high school. Someone who had graduated from my high school in my town had gone off to MIT, and he came back and spoke to students in our school and said, hey, you're good at math and you're good at science. Had you ever considered? And even though I was in a math science magnet program and I was doing very well and taking advanced courses, it was not a career I saw myself in until this gentleman who I related to deeply said, I'm doing it, and if I can do it, you can too. And so that sparked my interest in engineering, meeting this guy who grew up just like I did, who came from a rather poor family, whose mom was illiterate, his dad was a janitor, and he said, listen, if I can do this, you can too. And so that's what sparked my interest in anything engineering related, and I wanted to be just like him. So I applied to MIT, and I became a mechanical engineer just like he was.
Your professional journey is unique at MIT. Would you tell me about this, please?
Yeah, I came to MIT with a toddler, so that was definitely unique. My daughter became the mascot for a lot of on-campus organizations. She was 1 year old when we got to campus and 5 years old when we graduated. And then I'm really proud of being able to go through MIT and to have been able to leave after 4 years and to have had the experience we had. I received a lot of support, not only from the Institute, but also from friends and classmates. And it was, of course, terrifying to leave home for the first time ever and to do so with my daughter. But I tell people that poverty is a great motivator. And I knew what I didn't want, and I knew the kind of life I didn't want for my daughter. And so I took this really big challenge that seems daunting even to this day. And I remember taking it a week at a time and thinking, if I can get through this week, I'll be fine. And the next week would, of course, be even more horrible. And I would say, if I can get through this week, I'll be fine. So by taking it a week at a time and remembering that I was there for a much bigger goal, that's how we got through it.
You realize that anybody hearing this that's saying, wow, I'm juggling work and going to school and I just can't do this, is going to hear what you just said and say, oh, I don't have it so bad.
Yeah, and I would look at other people and say, I don't have it so bad. People are resilient, and we go through a lot of challenges, like losing a parent. I had a classmate who lost her father while I was in college, and I thought, wow, that I couldn't do. And so I think we underestimate ourselves a lot.
So 3 degrees later, and with Make in LA having the first successful demo day under your belt, take me back to the beginning of that. How'd the concept first come to you?
Yes. I have been interested in technology for a long time. And in addition to my corporate job, I've always been involved in growing other people, developing leaders, trying to create community around different causes. When I met Sean is the co-founder of Make in LA, and he shared a similar vision. He said, I want to help entrepreneurs grow their business, and I want to do this in Chatsworth, which is in the San Fernando Valley. And so immediately I connected, and I thought, wow, if we could create community around technology and startups in the San Fernando Valley, this is win-win-win for you, for me, for the community. And so it was a shared vision, and we knew we had to do it, and we had to do it quick because it wasn't being done in LA, and we wanted to create the epicenter of hardware in LA. And so we got to work quickly. I quit my job 2 weeks later. It was a job I had spent 12 years working toward, so I developed a career at Boeing, and I talked to my boss and said I have this wonderful opportunity to do something and own something and create something, and I have to do it. And so we got to work quickly. We were positively surprised by the amount of support we received from the community, by mentors who were willing to support us when we had nothing other than a big idea. And it's been a wonderful learning experience. We told our first set of teams each and every day, this is a big experiment, and you have to help us improve, and you have to tell us what works and what doesn't work. And they've been a great source of feedback in helping us do better and provide value.
What's one of your absolute favorite stories from your early days with your first team at Make in LA?
One of our teams is creating an activity tracker for action sports. They're a very young team, very technical, very talented. And they came to us and they had a design and they had a beautiful marketing video. And we looked at the design and we said, okay, you have to go out there and your goal this week is to talk to 100 customers, 100 potential customers. And so they gave us a menacing look. But they went out there and started talking to potential customers, and they came back about a day and a half later, and they said, people hate our design. People looked at it and said, I would not use this. And so we said, okay, what are you going to do? And we were able to help them, and they did most of the work, right? All we did was help them brainstorm. We watched them review their design 2 or 3 times in the course of 1 week, using our 3D printers, and they'd come up with a new design and go out and talk to potential customers again and come back, and they would ask about material and size and weight and look and feel, and they'd significantly redesigned their product throughout the course of the program, but the bulk of it was really in about a week or two. And so it was that kind of really early feedback that I think has enabled their success with influencers, and they would not be where they are if they weren't willing to be flexible with a design they had already fallen in love with, a video they had already fallen in love with. And so watching their growth and their progression in a very short amount of time, and just thinking about the money they were saving and what it meant for their final customer, that they were able to do this so early on, what it means for their investors. It was an early testament that we could find a way to truly add value in a tangible way.
I'm hearing you say, be prepared to be flexible. I'm hearing you say, don't say you can't. What else do you tell makers when they come in to Make in LA when you've accepted them for your classes?
Move quickly. We encourage them. We have a metrics board, and we meet just about daily at the beginning of the program, and we ask them what their big question of the day is. What are you wondering about? What do you need to get answered? And our feedback is, put something up there and let us help you get an answer in the next 24 to 48 hours. We're here to accelerate time, and you can't afford to wait a week to answer your question. So we want them to move quickly and efficiently.
What are some of the other ways that your experience raising your daughter at MIT has helped you in what you're currently doing with Make in LA?
I think we have a pretty deep personal connection to our teams, and I think that comes from our strong sense of family and knowing that there is so much more happening behind the entrepreneur. At Make in LA, we say that we focus on the entrepreneur first, the product second, and the business last. And so we try to coach our teams. We try to be therapeutic. We take them on mindfulness hikes.
And in addition, Nora May says, part of trying to be therapeutic is noticing when someone on one of the entrepreneur teams seems distracted and taking the time to find out why.
And then we learn somebody's mother passed away. Somebody's dealing with something at home. And unless we have a close relationship where we can dig these issues out, it's very hard to help. And I know that when something's happening at home, it's really hard to be successful and productive at work. And so we really focus on the person. We want them to be successful. We want them to be principled leaders. We want them to be ethical. We want them to care about people. And so we try to demonstrate that throughout our program.
Nora May is one of the three co-founders of Make in LA, along with electronics manufacturing and marketing expert Sean Arora and entrepreneurship and venture finance specialist Carmen Palafox.
At Make in LA, we have a very small staff. There were two of us when we started the program, and we've made one great addition to the team. And so we rely heavily on partnerships and other volunteers, but I think what unites our small team is that we're all passionate about technology, and we're passionate about creating community and developing leaders. Carmen really believes in using her talent and her previous experience at a big investment firm to help our team. And Sean is an angel investor and person who's grown a company himself, brings his experience to help our teams be resource efficient. And so I think our team makes a really big difference when it comes to the value we provide to our Make in LA portfolio companies. And I'm excited to work with them.
Tell me what's happened, please, for some of the teams I saw last Wednesday. What can you tell me about where they are right now?
Yeah, well, the field team is probably driving to San Francisco right now. They're relocating. And we had a big dinner and send-off on Saturday night. We, of course, had Greek food for the Greek team. So they're relocating to San Francisco. They have a few meetings lined up this week, and they'll be closer to where they need to grow their business. So we're excited for them. The Red Block team is here in town. They have been funded by two major venture capital firms, and so they have follow-up meetings with their investors over the next couple of weeks. The FitGuard team is in town, but soon headed, who knows where, I believe they're headed to Germany to be part of a competition. And so it's an exciting time for all of the teams. The Ridebox team will stay as entrepreneurs in residence. And so they'll be supporting our next batch of hardware teams.
Who, by the way, when are those coming in?
They'll be coming in March 7th.
And you've pretty much told me what they can expect for day one. Take me down the road by about a month. When your second batch of hardware teams have been there for a month, where do you want them to be, and what would you like them to be doing?
Yes. Month one is all about understanding their customer. So this goes back to the example I shared when we asked them to go out into the field and talk to people and get feedback on their product. At month two, they're really focused on their business model and how they're making money. So they are narrowing down whether they're selling direct to consumers or selling to other businesses, what their price point may be, whether they have a way to gain recurring revenue. So at month one, they know exactly who they're selling to. Month two, they're trying to figure out what that sales cycle looks like and really how they make money. Month three is about manufacturing, understanding their cost of goods, their bill of material, all the components they need in order to build their product, and where they may be able to build it. And then month four is about their future, so understanding their fundraising strategy, how much money they need to operate for the next 12 to 18 months, marketing.
And then we get to see a hardware demo day and see what they have.
Yes.
Are you able to tell me what we might see, or are we going to save that for when we announce what's coming up?
No, we did give a preview to some of the companies. We have four companies and a couple on a waiting list. We're still vetting. The four companies are pretty diverse, just as the first class was. We have about 50% female founders, which I personally am very excited about. And we have two LA companies, one San Francisco, one New York. We're going to see some wearables. We're going to see haptic devices. So not only is it important for us to keep in touch through voice and by seeing someone on the screen, we also want to incorporate the sense of touch. And we're going to see wall art, the next generation picture frame that you can manage through your phone.
And of course, I'm mentally going, yay, when you tell me it's 50-50 male and female makers.
Yes.
Let's talk about resources for a moment. Obviously, Make in LA is a great one for anybody who's a maker. What other resources do you recommend as a female maker, as an engineer, and as an entrepreneur to anybody who's making their dream a reality?
In general or through Make in LA?
Well, let's do in general, and then I'm going to ask you a bit about Make in LA.
Okay. So in general, we have office hours every 2 times a month, and we have a lot of entrepreneurs coming in, whether or not they're building hardware and they have questions about their business. And so we refer them to a set batch of resources. And more than anything, we tell them that as they're building their business, it's important to leverage other resources available, whether or not they're part of a program like ours. And so having a mentor or an advisor, using some of these marketplaces where they can bid on whether it's marketing or branding or even manufacturing support. There's a company that created a marketplace where entrepreneurs can come in and upload their files and have people bid on work. And so other entrepreneurs are a key resource for hardware entrepreneurs, and that means anyone who's created a marketplace or has made it easy and democratized one service, like Upwork, Fiverr. I mean, these are sites that even we as Make in LA use for branding or flyers, and they're very low cost. So oftentimes entrepreneurs think they have to spend a lot of money in order to get a quality product, and that's not often the case. So we really stress being resource efficient, especially early on. Be resource efficient by using these marketplaces, make really quick decisions, and use advisors to help you do that.
Let's give the contact information for Make in LA for these general resources. How do people get in touch with you for the office hours?
They're posted on our website. They can go to makeinla.com/events. We call these sessions Retooling Fridays, and they're open to anyone, whether or not they're in town. We've chatted with folks all over the world through Skype, and these sessions are free. They have our undivided attention for 30 minutes, and they're free to ask us anything.
Wow.
Get our feedback on anything. Yes. It's our way of supporting the community, giving some time, and helping people with their business.
Now, what if our listeners would like to know more about specific Make in LA resources, like maybe your class three?
Then they're welcome to email us. We should have a timeline up on our site that talks about the next batch, but they're welcome to reach out to us anytime. We also have a great blog. We blog about things happening at Make in LA, some of our activities, some of our teams, and that blog is up on our website as well.
What advice would you give your own daughter, who I believe is, what is she, 16 or 17 now, about preparing for her future as a maker?
She is 17. She just finished applying to college, trying to figure out what to do with her life and where to make her mark. And my advice to her has certainly shifted just about every year. And currently, I'm a fan of do what you love and work really hard, be a good person, enjoy your work. So I'm not pushing her toward one career or another. I have certainly done that, and I would say I've made that mistake in previous years. I'm excited to see that she's a beautiful human being, and I'm excited to see what she'll do with her life. But my feedback is work hard, continue to be a good person, and find something you really enjoy doing and work hard at it.
And finally, what is your vision for Make in LA as you come up on your first anniversary? Where do you want it to go in the next 5 years or so?
I really want to be true to our tagline. I want Make in LA to be the LA epicenter of hardware startups. I want to be able to help 15 startups a year build great products and also build great leaders who are going to do the same for their communities and their companies. If we really focus on developing great leaders, each one of those 15 companies every year is going to in turn create a great ecosystem within their own company, and they're going to be global. So we're going to spread goodness around the world and with exciting products. And so that's a great vision and one I hope to continue working toward for many years.
Nora May, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, too.
You and I have been listening to Nora May Cadena, co-founder and general manager of Make in LA, Los Angeles' first hardware accelerator. Make in LA will begin accepting applications for their next open class of entrepreneurs in April of 2016, according to their website. If you'd like to apply, or if you'd like to know more about the general entrepreneurs resources that Nora May mentioned, you'll find more information on makeinla.com. That's makeinla.com. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more Over Coffee podcasts, our link is twomaverix.com. That's twomaverix.com. And you can contact us at twomaverix@gmail.com. The music you're hearing is royalty-free production music provided by Pond5 at pond5.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.